Are you prepared?
I do.
Cool. Dead Boys. It's a podcast about the history and culture of death and decomposition. My name is Dorian. With me, as always, is Max. What's going on, Max?
Not too much. Recovering from a fun weekend.
Yeah, you caught a lot of baseball. You're in your element.
Did not catch a baseball. I was in my baseball element. I went to the MoMA.
I was very jealous of that.
For free. Which sucked, actually.
What?
Because there were, like, thousands of people in there, and you literally could not stop walking.
Wow, is admission always free there?
No, just on Fridays.
Oh, okay.
And people go crazy over it.
Yeah.
Like, I saw Starry Night for 10 seconds as I was pushed around Starry Night, and then I took a photo of a bunch of people taking photos of Starry Night
instead of
looking at it.
That's super lame. I hate when people take photos in museums. I mean, I've done this a handful of times, but just in a situation like that where there's a crowd of people around a painting. It's like,
you can just
Google image search and you can get a better scan of, like, if that's all you want is an image.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Like, appreciate it. Enjoy it.
Yeah. I kind of like, you know, if you take a photo with a painting, that's kind of cool. It's kind of like you're taking a photo with a musician or a celebrity or something.
I took a photo with my good friend Isaac.
Yes.
And a piece of art that was made out of a moose skull.
Yeah.
Which was sick.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of all skulls. You know, one thing, I went to the Cincinnati Art Museum a couple weekends ago. Probably a little less cool. But I saw this really cool piece that was a porcelain gas dispenser. Like, you know, the handle dispenser when you're at a gas station.
It's like in the folk art section, or?
It was in contemporary, I think, American sculpture or something like that. But it was a gas handle, but it was made out of porcelain. And had these very intricate hand-painted blue-white patterns on them.
Yeah.
And part of it was a skull. It's really hard to explain, but it was really dope-looking, and I got a photo, and I'll have to show you. That's right, I took a photo in a museum, because I have no integrity.
I'm a hypocrite.
Well, we didn't come here to expose ourselves and how hypocritical we are. We came here to talk about death.
Yeah.
Well, it'll come up. So, Max, it's storming here at the pre-Dead Boys castle.
Okay, I had lake house written down because I couldn't remember what we said last time.
That's an easy mistake to make because you look out across the courtyard and there's a vast lake filled with mythological beasts and whale falls.
A kraken and a wyvern?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Bunch of dead whales.
Yep. A lot of dead stuff. A lot of skulls. You had to drag the skulls back over here. So we're here at the scenic castle and it sounds like you're going to take us on a trip to a sort of dungeon.
I am. It is nice that we're on at this little vacation palace because we're going to do some jet setting.
Okay.
Like you would do. We're going to be spending most of our time in the Big Apple, the Windy City itself, Paris.
Max, I don't think that's the Big Apple. I think you have it confused.
I love rolling up to literally any city. Like, I could roll up to Indianapolis and I'll be like, there it is, the Windy City, the Big Apple.
Just because it's windy?
Yeah, just because I saw wind there once. We're going to Paris, but we're not really going to be seeing
the Eiffel Tower?
The Eiffel Tower. Nor are we going to see the City of Lights, because we're going subterranean.
Ooh, baby.
We're going into the Paris catacombs.
Woo!
So let's crack into the topic with the pre-Dead Boys cracking to the topic with a cold, refreshing LaCroix. Moment.
Yum. Ooh, I was parched.
Do you think anyone at LaCroix has ever heard this show?
LaCroix, I know you're listening. And I understand the risk of putting your name behind a podcast about death. I know it's kind of morbid.
Where we swear a lot.
We do a lot of cusses. And it's a little bit of a morbid subject matter. But listen, We've got dozens of listeners.
Dozens. That I love each and every one of.
We are passionate about the product, and we think you have a shot with our listeners. So get in touch.
I genuinely considered the fact that maybe their Twitter is run by one of those third-party social media companies.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to email them directly after this.
We need to go deeper.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Into the rabbit hole. Here's a fun thing that I also kind of explored and played in the space of this weekend. Because I went to New York City.
Yes.
And Philly. And Pittsburgh.
Yins.
Yins. I yinsed it up real hard.
Yep.
In Pittsburgh, they have a big square. It's like about an 8 foot tall by 8 foot long cube.
Okay.
So it's not a square, I lied. But it's a big white cube in the middle of the city. And you roll up to it. And on each side, there's a hole. And it fills up your water bottle for you.
Oh.
Like you stick your Nalgene in there. And it fills it up.
Yeah.
But two of the sides are still water. Two of the sides are seltzer water. And I did fill up my Nalgene all the way with seltzer water.
Ooh, was it flavored at all or just
plain? No, it was just pure.
Oh, pure. Pure flavor.
It's kind of great.
Sounds refreshing.
So, we should probably actually talk about...
We cracked into the topic, Max. We got to get to it.
So let's start...
No use crying over spilt Croy.
Spilt Croy. Let's start macro, and then we'll zoom in as we go.
Okay.
So, Dorian, what's the definition of a catacomb?
Catacombs are human-made subterranean passageways for religious practice. Any chamber used as a burial place is a catacomb. The first place to be referred to as catacombs was the system of underground tombs between the second and third milestones of the Appian Way in Rome, where the bodies of the apostles Peter and Paul, among others, were said to have been buried. The name of that place in late Latin was catacombe, a word of obscure origin, possibly deriving from a proper name or else a corruption of the Latin phrase catatumbus, which means among the tombs.
It's a pretty cool way to describe something.
Catatumbus.
Catatumbus. It's got a nice, like, rhythmic, very rich sound.
It's lovely.
Yeah. So, in short, a catacomb is kind of like a carved underground cave where people are buried.
Mm-hmm.
Now, normally, most catacombs in the West, in America, are similar to mausoleums. They're just underground instead of above ground. Because, you know, nothing in the West is older than, you know, 500 years, and it's all, you know, kind of hoity-toity.
Right, and if you go back to our New Orleans episode, you know that there are some problems with burying dead bodies in land where it's swampy.
Very swampy land. Like, you know, D.C. is a lot like that, too.
Really?
Where they built the whole city on a swamp.
Did you get some explosive results there?
Yeah, it's very... I don't know if you've ever been to D.C.
No, I haven't.
It is gross in the summer. It's gnarly.
Yeah.
So I put a photo here of Greenwood Cemetery in Brooklyn, which has a catacomb. That's pretty nice.
Are those skylights?
You know, I think those are just like, this place is so nice that they just have like natural dome lighting in it.
Yeah.
It's super nice. It doesn't really look scary or like how one would imagine a catacomb looking.
It does look a little bit like a friendly prison.
Yeah. Like a very French prison that's fancy.
Yeah, it's not as ominous as it could be. That's for sure.
Yeah. So with catacombs, as is with a lot of death stuff, Europe is where the money is. Stuff is just older over there, and they have way less free space for burials and graveyards and cemeteries. You know, you can't be wasting land digging holes and putting bodies in when you have to grow crops.
Right.
Not great. So, how did Paris end up being the ones that got a vast system of underground catacombs? We're going to get into that, but just as a heads up, Dorian, how is your French?
Non-existent.
Mine is bad.
Okay, cool.
So we're going to try our best here, but oh boy.
Yeah, all of our French-speaking listeners, I'm going to open up the floodgates here. Just go ahead and tell us how bad a job we did. You can email us at predeadboys@gmail.com. Tell us on our various social media outlets. Go ahead and really roast us. Tell us how bad we did.
If you're going to tweet at us, make sure you put that little dot in front of our Twitter handle so that it doesn't just go to us.
Yeah, so everyone sees how bad we fucked up.
I work around a lot of French kids.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to even think of, j'ai besoin d'aide is, I think, how you say I need help, and that's about all I got.
Okay. I know merde.
Merde.
That's shit.
We're crushing this. The dead in Paris weren't always just thrown underground in catacombs. In fact, the catacombs actually started at a place called Holy Innocents Cemetery.
The burial ground, then called Champeaux, and the associated church were constructed around the 12th century. They were located next to the central market. Under the reign of Philip II, from 1180 to 1223, the cemetery was continually being enlarged and was surrounded by a 3-meter-high wall. Holy Innocents had begun as a cemetery with individual sepultures, but by then had become a site for mass graves. People were buried together in the same pit, which could hold about 1,500 dead at a time. Only when one was full would another be opened.
It seems to me like it might be a less than stellar idea to build a site of mass graves next to the main market of a city, but YOLO, I guess. I don't know. So you can see how this went back a really long time, though.
Yeah.
This cemetery was built around the year 1100, and you can imagine how bad that cemetery got, how chock full it got, with the arrival of the plague.
Ooh.
You know, the bad one.
What was the good plague? Was that, like, when Gangnam Style got really popular?
The good plague was... I think the second one was okay. No, that's the Purge. Plague? Fuck. Fuck, wait, oops. So when you think about the amount of people that had to have died in the plague, people must have just been, like, filling up these mass graves, like, crazy with the bodies of these infected people.
Right.
You'd think somebody would have done something... or decided to move the graves when, you know, you're filling a huge hole in the center of your city with a bunch of highly contagious, dead, rotting corpses. But, nope.
They just stuffed them in there?
They just kind of crammed them in there, and nobody would really do anything about this for another 400 years.
Good lord. During the reign of Louis XV, inspectors recorded accounts of the difficulties in conducting business in the area due to the unsanitary conditions of the cemetery, caused by overuse and incomplete decomposition of bodies. 2 declarations by Louis XVI to move the parish cemeteries out of the city were resisted by the church, which profited from burial fees. To reduce the number of burials, the price of burials was increased. After a prolonged period of rain in spring 1780, conditions became untenable. After numerous complaints, the Council of State decided on November 9th, 1785, to prohibit further use of the Cemetery of the Innocents and to remove its contents.
You remember when that woman found, like, a toe or finger or whatever in her chili at Wendy's a few years back?
Yeah.
Now, imagine that. But you're just, like, getting water out of your well in the morning to drink because you're a French peasant.
Yeah.
And you kind of pull your bucket out and it's just, like, incomplete decomposition of bodies. Mm-hmm. And there's just kind of toes floating around in there. Maybe, like, an ear.
Mm-hmm. I bet it smelled good, too.
Yeah, probably like a fun color. Like a fun puce color.
Ugh.
Not a great look.
No.
So, obviously... if you're going to shut down a cemetery that's holding literally millions of dead bodies, many of which are still in the process of rotting in the hot, rainy climate of Paris at the time,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to do something about that.
Out-of-use quarries were chosen to receive the remains. The city of Paris had in fact just completed a general inspection of the quarries in order to strengthen the public roads built above them. Building work was done on the quarry, using large quantities of stone, strengthening the supports, and completed by digging out a staircase, flanked by a well into which the bodies could be thrown. The transfer of the remains could begin after the blessing and consecration of the site on April 7th, 1786, and it continued until 1788, always at nightfall, and following a ceremony where a procession of robed priests sang the service for the dead along the route taken by the carts loaded with bones, which were covered by a black veil. Then, until 1814, the site received the remains from all the cemeteries of Paris.
Can you imagine how rad of a scene this would have been?
I was just thinking that. That's so metal. That's like, so cool.
You know, I don't know what color these priests were wearing. It was probably white.
Maybe.
But it would have been sick if they were all in black robes.
Leather robes with, yeah, metal, with metal studs on them.
And they all had, like, morning stars.
They're windmilling the morning stars while these wheelbarrows of dead bodies covered in black veils are being,
yeah,
carted around.
And, you know, as someone who grew up Catholic, I'm very familiar with what passes in the Catholic Church for singing. And really, it's a lot of chanting.
Yeah.
Which is even cooler.
Absolutely. Now, this was before you had some very half-hearted children dragged into mass who were singing very under their breath and badly, right? This was, like, if you were singing here, you probably cared enough to try to do a good job.
Yeah.
I would assume.
Yeah, you were going to put the work in.
Yeah. Yeah. You're in a scene like this, dead bodies everywhere, you're like, you know what, this is my time to shine.
This is my calling right now.
This is the coolest thing I'll ever do.
Yeah.
I better not screw up.
So I'm sure this excavation took a lot of work. I mean, it says they were working every night. I don't know why it had to be at night. Maybe because it was, like, unceremonial. Because
it's cool as fuck, Max.
Yes. I should stop questioning things. And this shoveling of dead bodies took almost 30 years, which is outrageous.
That's a long time.
Like, 1786 to 1814.
Which is testament to how many bodies they had to deal with.
Yeah. So imagine 30 years worth of bodies just... You're pulling them out of this pit and, right, having to wheelbarrow them across the city to throw them in a different pit and do a bunch of different stuff there.
Yeah.
That kind of gives you an idea of the size of the Paris catacombs. Now, all in all, the total traversable length of the Paris catacombs is estimated to be about 200 miles.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, it's big in there, and it's a lot of space. There's different layers of it. It goes above and below. We're going to get into some of that stuff later, and what happens when you have a lot of long tunnels, some of which are filled with water.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. So all the moving of these bones and bodies wasn't a particularly easy task. You know, I mean, sure, some parts of the cemetery were pretty old.
Yeah.
So, you know, you would just roll up, and it would just be like a pit of old dry bones, and you could just huck them into the back of your donkey wagon and cart them off.
Yeah.
But, you know, some were a little fresher, and some bodies inspired some, you know, capitalistic tendencies in people who were trying to go after the adipocere.
Adipocere?
Adipocere. Have you ever heard of that before?
No, I don't know what that is.
You know, it is corpse wax.
Corpse wax?
Corpse wax.
Like the natural wax from rotting? Is that it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. How about you let us know what, about a little more about corpse wax, because I don't want to talk about it anymore.
All right. Oh, thanks. Thanks for throwing me under the bus. Corpse wax. Adipocere, also known as corpse wax, grave wax, or mortuary wax, is a wax-like organic substance formed by bacteria breaking down fat tissue, such as body fat, in corpses. During its formation, skin is replaced by a permanent film cast of fatty tissues, internal organs, and the face. Adipocere is a crumbly, waxy, water-insoluble material consisting mostly of saturated fatty acids. Depending on whether it was formed from white or brown body fat, adipocere is either grayish-white or tan in color. In corpses, the firm cast of adipocere allows some estimation of body shape and facial features, and injuries are often well-preserved.
Yeah. So, you know, some less than scrupulous or enterprising French people decided to occasionally sneak down into some of these graves and
Steal people's wax.
I mean, at the time, you know, lighting was really expensive. It's gross. It's one of the grossest things I've ever thought of.
So, light it, like, they would burn it in lamps?
They would make it into candles, yeah, and then sell the candles to people.
Oh, man, what do you think that smelled like?
Probably bad, but we consider that the other things people were burning at the time were, like, whale fat and tallow and other gross stuff.
Not a lot of tasty options.
Yeah, it would have been a stinky, stinky city.
I guess that's why they say French people smell bad.
Yeah.
Ayo!
The residual effects of just burning a bunch of dead people in your country.
French people are stinky! I am French in heritage, so I can say that. Awesome. I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's excusable because I'm still American. I should probably stop.
Yeah, let's get back to talking about more gross, fatty wax.
Yeah, corpse wax.
Corpse wax. It is really unsettling. Do you know about Soap Lady?
No.
So Soap Lady was a woman, who is housed in the Motor Museum in Philly, where I did not go, regrettably. I went to a bar, though, called Tattooed Mom.
Yeah.
And it kicked ass. It was so good. And if you are in Philly, please go support that place. It ruled.
Tattooed Mom.
Yeah. Super cheap beer, a great veggie burger. It was rad.
Okay.
So the Soap Lady was a woman who lived in Philly in the 1790s, so before the Eagles, which must have been tough for her.
Go Eagles!
Go Eagles! Fly, Eagles, fly!
Hey, Super Bowl champs!
I'm walking in!
Hey, forget about it!
So, she died during an outbreak of yellow fever.
Oh.
But because of the particular humidity and way that her body was stored, she turned into adipocere. If you scroll down, if you really want to, you can see a photo of her.
Alive or,
in a waxy soapy form.
All right.
It is unsettling.
It looks like she got burned to death and then wrapped in aluminum foil and then burned again.
It kind of does look like that.
It's deeply horrifying.
And there's still hair and stuff on it.
Hair is intact. That's very, very disturbing.
Yeah.
This is Bentham head disturbing.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry for showing you this. But this was a reality that people moving bodies from a lot of early Parisian cemeteries to the Paris catacombs had to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
When you pack a bunch of bodies in a very tight space, like a mass grave, on top of each other with very little oxygen and not a lot of airflow or anything like that, this is going to be the process that happens. And I can't imagine being the workers who are having to move these bodies over.
Right.
And deal with this.
Yeah.
Because it would have been gnarly. Ugh.
At least they had some pretty bitchin' entertainment while they were carting the body, so.
Yeah, always chanting.
Chanting metal dudes and morning stars.
Now, the folks building this were engineers, because the French didn't really know how to, like, make a large underground catacomb, because it had never really been done before. So they turned to the people who knew how to do mining and how to dig quarries.
Mm-hmm.
So they got a bunch of dorky engineers to build these catacombs for them.
Now, we got a lot of flack for calling Jeremy Bentham a dork. I don't know if it's a good idea to call these guys dorks.
Engineers dorks who can, like, dox us. We're gonna get doxed.
No!
So they built a pretty extensive underground network. One of the engineers, however, one Louis-Étienne Héricard de Thoré. I don't know how good I did there. Probably bad.
Better than I would do.
He feels like a kindred soul to mine, and I'm assuming to yours as well.
Oh. In their first years, the catacombs were a disorganized bone repository. Tight.
Tight.
But de Thoré, director of the Paris Mine Inspection Service, had renovations done that would transform the underground caverns into a visitable mausoleum. In addition to directing the stacking of skulls and femurs into the patterns seen in the catacombs today, he used the cemetery decorations he could find to complement the walls of bones. Also created was a room dedicated to the display of the various minerals found under Paris, and another showing various skeletal deformities found during the catacombs' creation and renovation.
Yeah,
this dude loved bones!
This dude loved bones! Like, he was Randy for bones. Loved looking at bones, he loved stacking bones.
Just diddling those bones.
Now, this is the point where we're going to see some photographs of the Paris Catacombs.
Yeah!
And if you are at home, you owe it to yourself to check these out, because they are fucking rad.
Yes, yes, yes. So what do we have stacked here? I see some skulls.
Oh, this is a skull wall.
It's all skulls.
This is skulls and just some rocks up top.
Okay.
But mostly a lot of skulls.
It's so many skulls. Are these all skull fragments? I mean, what are these? These little V-shaped looking things underneath the first row of
skulls.
Those are
femurs.
Okay, so there are femurs stacked in here as well.
Yeah, this is the most, like, engineer thing I've ever seen, where this dude rolled up, was like, okay, how can we stack these in the most space-efficient way?
Yeah.
All these human remains.
Well, you don't want them to rattle around and shift.
No, you're transporting them at night. People are trying to sleep.
Yeah.
While these monks are chanting. You don't want to drown out the monk chants.
Please be quiet. People are trying to sleep.
Home.
Home. This is pretty fucking rad with the... Is this a tombstone? What is this?
Yeah. Because a lot of the stuff in the Paris catacombs was removed from graveyards and cemeteries, this dude thought, why waste good death decorations?
Right.
We'll just put them in with everything else.
It's still very aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
And I love that how he pointed two femurs down at it, like, creating this kind of display. This guy would be a really good visual merchandiser for Forever 21 or something.
Now that, like, being goth is hip.
Yeah.
This guy really could have crushed it.
Like, do you have any bones? No. We have scarves. Mailed it.
I want the bones.
I want bones.
So Daythoray kind of seems like a proto-goth, just hanging out in these caves he's building underground, arranging bones while, like, everyone else is like, hey, you know, we are supposed to be working, and Daythoray is just down there like,
I am working.
I'm working.
Go away.
Masterpiece.
This is so cool.
Like, jamming skulls into a wall and stuff like that.
Yeah, this guy was a total G.
I also like that he would just go through and find weird bones.
That he had a separate room of weird bones.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Like, I wonder if he volunteered for this because he was a freak, or if he was a dude who discovered his most secret calling. Like, he was an engineer, and then he got assigned to do this duty, and then showed up and was like, oh my god, I understand myself.
There's so many bones.
So many bones.
He's so hot for bones. He's a nasty boy for bones.
Daythoray loved the bones.
So, this is so cool. I want to go to this place very, very badly. I can totally skip the Eiffel Tower and Notre Dame and all the other touristy stuff in France, but I really want to go to the catacombs in Paris.
That's really interesting because the thought that Daythoray put into organizing all of this is so different from some of the stuff we're about to get into. He intended this to be a space that people could enter.
Okay.
It was public access. People were allowed to go in and pay their respects to the dead. There was no way to find anyone you were related to, because Daythoray just spent his whole day, like, ripping skulls off of bodies indiscriminately.
Have you seen my uncle? Oh, shit. No. You know what? No.
No, I haven't, dude. But, you know, he's just jamming them onto the wall.
Yeah.
But old-timey people in Paris loved this. For a long time, it was a tourist attraction. Uh-oh. Even in the 1700s and 1800s, and people would walk the catacombs, and it was like a memento mori. People would use it as a way to remember their own mortality.
Right. Maybe they were a little more death-positive back then than we might be today.
Yeah. But even today, you can go to Paris, and you can take a guided tour of this part of the catacombs. But, like I said earlier, the entire network of catacombs covers about 200 miles. So when you go on one of the lame-ass tours that they offer, which would still be rad because you're seeing all these things.
Yeah, that's not lame. You take that back.
The tours only cover at most 5 miles out of the 200.
There's a lot left to explore there.
There's a lot left to explore. And the catacombs are estimated to hold about 7 to 8 million people. Which is an outrageous number.
Yeah.
So, you know, naturally, there's people who want to get in that catacomb and see what they're missing.
For sure.
And these people are called cataphiles. So climbing around in the catacombs without a permit or being on a tour is illegal, and the issue is actually so bad in Paris that there's a division of the Paris police that specifically patrol the catacombs looking for trespassers, cave cops.
Ugh. Cave cops.
Cave cops.
Killing my buzz, cave cops. So they get to explore. They get to see all
they get to walk around
uncharted territory and just kick out other people who are trying to see the same stuff as them.
Yeah, they're just big cave narcs.
So much for democracy.
You ever see Midnight Meat Train?
Yes.
Film Corner. I imagine that when you sign up to be a cave cop, you think it might be a little like Midnight Meat Train, where there's just reptilians living in the sewers.
Right.
Underneath Paris.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that there's not. I don't know. I'm a little bummed that there's not more conspiracy theories about this place.
Yeah, that seems odd.
Like, it's a large underground tunnel system under a major city. And, like, the Denver airport is one of those. And people go crazy over the Denver airport.
Huh.
And, like, Dulce Base and all that stuff.
Yeah, right.
Anytime there's, like, a multi-layer tunnel system, people are like, oh, what are they doing down there?
And this one's filled with 7 or 8 million dead people.
Yeah, I guess that's enough. And for some
reason, people are like, yeah, that's tight.
That's fine.
We don't need to add to that.
I went on ancientorigins.org.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're not even in .org. I went on ancientorigins.net, which is normally like a hotbed for just batshit
quality
content.
Conspiracy
theories.
Right.
And literally the only thing that's mentioned about the Paris catacombs on there is Parisians are risking their lives to cool off in vast catacomb network during heat wave. And it's such like a normie drag compared to like, we found a weird skull in the woods. Is it evidence that the government is experimenting on babies to cure smallpox?
Yeah, it's kind of wholesome content. Are people just kind of going in this cool skull-filled place?
Because it's hot?
To cool off a little bit because it's a hot summer.
It's so goofy.
Get their bearings, stop sweating for a second.
So, lucky for us and the catacomb cops, there's more than enough cataphiles sneaking around in the catacombs because there actually is a ton of really rad stuff down there. One of the more benign things in the Paris catacombs is affectionately referred to as swimming pools. So this is kind of one of those, like, you gotta see it to believe it things. So, Dorian, before we go any further, there's an 8-minute documentary made about how these surprisingly beautiful and clear pools exist deep within the Paris catacombs. For those of you at home, it's called La Cité dans la Mer, and we can get a link posted in the show notes.
We'll hit you with that link.
But right now, we're going to go ahead and get that fast-forward noise in there and watch this documentary. So pretty cool, right?
Yeah, very much so.
There's really no way to say that, hey, this water is crystal clear without watching these dudes scuba around.
Yeah.
Like, they're scubaing around these catacombs, but these catacombs are full of water that hasn't been touched by a living person or any sort of living organism for over 100 years.
Right.
So literally any bit of sediment has filtered down to the bottom, and it looks like they're just walking, but like in space almost.
Right. It's so serene down there. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. So you can see how if you were like a Paris hipster, you'd be like, you know, there's all these pools underground, and there's also like the water has definitely like touched a bunch of bones.
Right.
I want to go swim around in that.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool.
Maybe a little grody, but I love it.
Yeah, it's sweet. Did you ever go to Wyandotte Lake as a kid?
Yeah. This is a water park, by the way, in Columbus.
It is a water park, so. Yeah, sorry.
Sorry to people who don't live here.
Yeah, it's like a big, you know, I have that written down in my notes, is like, say it's a water park, and I just didn't.
Just so, glaze over it. That's all good. I actually went to Zumbezi Bay, the new iteration of it, earlier this summer with my family.
Do you like it? You have a good time?
Yeah. I can totally just fill a day with going down water slides and be completely content. Hot dogs and water slides, great way to spend a day.
That's all you need. Yeah. USA.
US.
So when I was a kid, I used to go to Wyandotte Lake a lot, and we would go to the wave pool movie night that they would do.
Yeah.
Which, in retrospect, when I first thought about that, I was like, you know, that seems like a fucking terrible idea. to get a bunch of teens who are wearing only bathing suits in a big wave pool.
Yeah.
And cram them all really close together. And also, it's very dark.
What could go wrong?
You know, I was doing that a lot when I was like 10 to 12.
Ugh.
And I'm like, I hope I didn't swim
in some fluids.
Anything weird.
You probably did.
Oh. But yes. I was thinking about that and I was like,
Memories.
Like a fucking terrible idea.
Yeah.
But in addition to all the water swimming aspects of the Paris catacombs, some other people are trying to introduce a movie watching aspect of the Paris catacombs. So they're really trying to replicate the flavor of my youth, which I appreciate. So at one point, a group of urban explorers actually had a functioning movie theater set up in the Paris catacombs.
Damn. That is so cool.
It's very cool. And it was secret. And then they got busted.
By who?
By the catacomb cops.
Oh, the cave cops. Again, cave cops!
But here's a report from The Guardian that ran a few days after the cave cops made this bust.
Police in Paris have discovered a fully equipped cinema and restaurant in a large and previously uncharted cavern underneath the capital's chic 16th district. Officers admit they are at a loss to know who built or used one of Paris's most intriguing recent discoveries. A police spokesman said, quote, "We have no idea whatsoever," end quote.
He's being upfront. I appreciate that.
There, the police found a fully sized cinema screen, projection equipment, and tapes of a wide variety of films, including 1950s film noir classics and more recent thrillers. None of the films were banned or even offensive, the spokesman said. A smaller cave next door had been turned into an informal restaurant and bar. The spokesman says, "There were bottles of whiskey and other spirits behind a bar, tables and chairs, a pressure cooker for making couscous. The whole thing ran off a professionally installed electricity system, and there were at least 3 phone lines down there." Unquote. 3 days later, when the police returned, accompanied by experts from the French Electricity Board to see where the power was coming from, the phone and electricity lines had been cut, and a note was lying in the middle of the floor. It said, "Do not try to find us."
That's rad.
That's badass.
Yeah. These people were just watching movies down in the catacombs, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
And, like, stuff like, you know, Die Hard. Because normal movies, which I also really like.
God, that sounds so fun.
Like, they just wanted to watch it in a cave, which is rad.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
So these people who did this belong to a really extreme urban exploration group in Paris known as UX. Mm. They stage a bunch of really cool stuff in Paris. Unfortunately, we only find out about it when it gets busted by narcs who are like, "Hey, there's a lot of people who are walking down into these catacombs at night."
Cave cops!
Cave cops! I guess this UX group claims to have a lot more stuff stashed down in the catacombs as well. Most of it has not yet been discovered. Here's another quote from the report on that movie theater bust.
Patrick Alk, a photographer who has published a book on the urban underground exploration movement and claims to be close to the group, told reporters the cavern's discovery was, quote, "a shame, but not the end of the world." "There were a dozen more where that one came from," he said. "You guys have no idea what's down there."
That's really ominous and very cool. You know, they had a restaurant. They had a fun couscous maker.
Yeah. What else could they possibly have down there?
Barber, salon, ski ball.
They got Pokemon Go. They've got real exclusive rare Pokemon down there, I'll bet.
It's like that's where you can get a Marowak.
Wow.
Yeah. I have never played Pokemon Go, so I don't know how rare a Marowak is.
I don't either. It's been a while.
But it seems like you would find a Marowak down there, or like a Ghastly or a Gengar.
Ooh, yeah. You got to find a lot of ghost Pokemon down there. Yeah. It'd be badass.
And, you know, and
probably something way cooler than that. Let's be honest.
So it is important to note that it's not all fun and games and movies and Pokemon Go down in the catacombs. As recently as 2017, people were getting lost and even hospitalized as a result of trying to explore in the catacombs. 2 teenagers were recently lost for 3 days, And once they were found by dogs, because it's a cave, they had to be hospitalized for hypothermia-like symptoms.
Wow. Yeah.
They're having to walk around in this very beautiful but very cold water.
Right.
In the pitch black dark. It's tough. This isn't something you really want to mess around with.
Yeah, for sure.
Unless you know where the movie theater is. And then you're good to go.
Right.
So unless you have anything else to add, that's all I have on catacombs.
The only thing I want to add is I'm very jealous and I really want to go.
Yeah, I wish we had some catacombs.
Oh, I want to go to the nasty, unexplored parts. I want to hang out with UX.
You want to hang out in one of the big skull pits?
Yeah, and watch a movie or play a spooky game of some kind. I want to go to the catacombs and play Resident Evil.
Oh my god, that would ruin me.
All right, thanks so much for listening, guys. Thank you for supporting us this far and listening to this entire podcast.
Thank you.
We would really appreciate if you are willing to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. If you do that for us, it helps us. We get pushed to the top of the charts a little bit. People notice us. Notice us, Senpai. Yeah, that's a cultural reference.
Oh, that got me so much.
But that would help us out a bunch, and we'll help you out by making you more famous. We'll read your review here on this podcast and give you a shout out and tell you how much we love you. And if you're on any device, just tell a friend about this show. Recommend it to someone who digs funny and morbid cool stuff. Yeah. Tell it to your cool friends. If they're cool, they'll love it. If only they're lame, cool they'll be a wiener and talk about how bad they smell, how they smell like corpse wax.
Ugh.
We also love just hearing from you guys in general. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at PreDeadBoys. You can email us PreDeadBoys@gmail.com. Join our Facebook group. Just search PreDeadBoys Podcast. It'll be right there at the tip top of the list.
Tippity top.
Yeah. We love hearing from you guys. We want to know if you have been to Paris and seen the catacombs, and we want to tell you personally how jealous we are. We want to know if you are part of UX and can get us closer to the cool parts of the catacombs with the movie theaters and the Resident Evil. We also want to get in touch with you. I don't have any other specific thing. I just like the rule of threes is what I was shooting for. Rule of threes. Hey, speaking of threes.
Marketing.
If you want to leave us a $3 or more tip to help offset our hosting fees, help us pay for hopefully upcoming merch and stuff that we can get out there, you can go to ko-fi.com/predeadboys. Dunk a little bit of money in the tank and help us out a bunch.
Do a little ko-fi dip.
Dip you $3 in it. Our intro and outro music is the song About Time by Brat Curse. Thanks to the Brat Curse lads for letting us use it. You can check them out at bratcurse.bandcamp.com. And that's it. Maybe we should court another sponsor. Do you think that there's some kind of candle company out there that would want to revitalize the corpse wax candle
just
industry?
Just making stinky, stinky candles.
I think that there are some real opportunities there. Get in touch if you make candles.
Candle lab.
And you want to make a real smelly, bad candle.
I have looked at some smelly, bad candles on Etsy, so I bet they're out there.
There's a corpse wax candle out there somewhere. Hey, thanks for listening. Max and Dorian here reminding you, you're going to rock.
Himself a throne in a strange city, lying alone far down within the dim west, where the good and the bad and the worst and the best have gone to their eternal rest. Their shrines and palaces and towers, time-eaten towers that tremble not, resemble nothing that is ours. Around, by lifting winds forgot, resignedly beneath the sky, the melancholy waters lie.
No, I refuse. Hold on. It's still recording, so you can just do whatever you want.
Dorian just fucking left the room, so you know what I'm gonna do? I don't even know how many levels of copyright violation this is ruining.
What are you doing?
Not listening to AC/DC Vanessa Carlton mashups.
Oh. Yep. Oh. That's good. That would be really weird
Oh, yep.
If you were doing something like that.
Good thing I wasn't.